Good evening and welcome to Caffeination 075. Hey out there everybody, welcome to Caffeination 075, the second in our spooky edition. So we are gearing up for Halloween here. We're just trying to find all the spookiest tech, the craziest news bites, and of course plenty of caffeinated goodness. This is the Diamond edition also of the show, 75th anniversary being the Diamond anniversary, so there you go. It's also an anniversary of something else around here, but last month, 5:02 p.m. this evening, Paul Jr. was born. So, wife made a fabulous dinner today. She really outdid herself. We used our china that we got for the wedding, the whole nine yards. Candlelit dinner when I got home from work. And to top it all off, she brought him into work today for me. So, we both work at the same place. It was kind of cool having Paul walk around in there. I forgot my camera back in work today, so next time I post a show, I'm actually going to have a picture of him sitting in my chair, so it's pretty funny. So, all right, I hope everybody's having a good week. We'd just like to thank everybody who's stuck around for a couple shows. You are the reason that we continue to do this podcast. We'd also like to welcome in all of our new listeners. So if you're listening to this podcast over at the stream at the Tech Podcast Network, then you can find it at www.caffeination.com. That's caffeination.com. You can email us any comments at caffeination@gmail.com, and you can go over to myspace.com/caffeination to find our MySpace page, of course. You're not going to find much else there, but still. All right, the wonderful little crazy sounds you're hearing in the background are actually The Delicate Art of Noise Pollution and their song Spooky Funk from the PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com. It's a great little groovy tune. I just decided to, didn't really have too many spooky intro music, so I wanted to throw down something interesting to this time. So that's where we are. We have a whole bunch of great songs lined up for you today, so hopefully you're going to like what you're going to hear. First off, we'd just like to say that this show is sponsored by GoToMeeting. Try it free for 45 days. Getting to and from meetings can be a real waste of time and money. Driving 2 hours for a one-hour meeting. Flying to headquarters for a half-day training session. Save time and money by meeting online with GoToMeeting. With GoToMeeting, you invite people to meet you online. During your call, they can see your computer screen. Meet as long as you want, as often as you need, for one flat rate. Try GoToMeeting free for 45 days, no credit card required. Just visit GoToMeeting.com and type in the promo code PODCAST. That's PODCAST. That's GoToMeeting.com and type in PODCAST. Try GoToMeeting free today, no credit card needed. All right, we'd just like to thank them for being our sponsor, making this whole thing possible, making it a little bit more feasible in the family structure that we currently have going. So, yeah, we have a great show lined up for you today. We have the ever-present tech tidbits, a little bit of general information, not too much on the caffeinated bits section today, but still, it's always there, lovely to check out, and the song in the background just ended. You might hear it a little bit more later on, but still. First up from the PodSafe Music, or actually second up now, but second up from the PodSafe Music Network, we have a really spooky, crazy song that I found by the Coffin Shakers, and it's called Halloween, so here we go.
Thank you. The sun is setting in the west, the shadows are growing tall. A bad moon's on the rise tonight, the children of the night call. Tonight the graves are opening up, the strangest sights unseen. Keep all doors and windows locked this night of Halloween.
We are the undead, immortal. No man can harm us unless he pours a stake through our hearts or beheads us. No one is protected from us unless they hold the hated cross.
You're a vampire.
Yes. I can savor the most extreme of Satan's delights. I can feed on the blood of a human victim.
Not me.
It is a test. One who is dedicated to the devil and his deeds will not die by a vampire's bite, but will become one of the undead. A vampire. The good and the innocent die.
Again, that was the song Halloween from the Coffin Shakers and the Podsafe Music Network, music.podshow.com. So I hope you found that one enjoyable. I hope everybody out there really likes it. You might hear that one come back again. I don't know. That's one of those songs that kind of sticks in my head, so hopefully everybody's going to find it as enjoyable as I did. Still playing with the levels here in the show. Everything's kind of goofy, but still. Hopefully all the sound's coming through correctly this time. All right. Let's see what we got going here. First up in the Tech Tidbits section, a little bit more dialogue, vocabulary lesson here from the Caffeination, rather. Now, these are going to be really simple terms. I've actually had people ask me for a little bit of clarification on these in the past couple weeks too, so I wanted to just kind of throw them out there real quick, and then we'll be done with them. We're also looking for terms that you might not understand, so you can head on over and tell us exactly what you feel. You know, what do you think that we should be explaining? Please email caffeination@gmail.com with all of your suggestions there. Now today is hardware, software, and firmware. Now I'm pretty sure everybody has heard the hardware and software thing, but not very many people know what firmware is. So we're just going to run right through them. Hardware is basically any physical object that you see. So a monitor's a piece of hardware, a motherboard's a piece of hardware, a CPU, this mic's a piece of hardware. It's basically a collection of electronics which, through buttons and dials and all that other kind of stuff, it just does something. A printer can be a piece of hardware. Now, software, on the other hand, is something you load into a computer. It's a program, it's a set of instructions that allows the computer to do something. It's freely updatable, with most cases, but still. That's the ones that everybody knows. You know, hardware is the computer, software is the stuff that goes in it. Now, this term that I just said, firmware, might be one that you might not be too familiar with. Now, firmware is instructions that can be given to, or that are preloaded onto certain peripherals or computers or whatever else you have, that allow, you know, it's a modicum of software, but it's updatable ever so slightly. So, for instance, all printers actually have firmware within them. They have, you know, little programs, things like the printers that we have in work. They actually have a web server running on them, so that if you go to the website where these printers are, then you're going to be able to change certain settings. And the way that you change these settings is, or the way that you update the firmware, is by completely uploading a new selection to the printer, and it wipes out whatever was there before. And it's a very small piece of software that interfaces directly with the hardware. Modems have firmware, routers have firmware, you know, so, I mean, that's basically what that is, and we're going to move on now, because I don't need to beat that point to death. All right, first up, I would just like to announce that Firefox 2.0, meet the new boss, same as the old boss, it's out now, and it's better than ever. I installed it in work, still don't have it installed at home, just basically because I'm running a little bit behind. But still, I gotta say, I really like it. One of the major concerns that a lot of people have had about Firefox is, I don't understand how to do certain things. Like, I don't understand how to close all the tabs. All right, now that's just a little insane, but still. There's a red X all the way off on the right-hand side. Well, now they've simplified it even more. Now there's a red X on every single tab. But I'm just glad that they didn't take the other part of functionality out of it. You know, if you middle click, you know, if you have a standard mouse button, you have your left click, you have your right click, and then you have the scroll wheel in the middle. If you push down on that scroll wheel, that's called the middle click, or the third mouse button. If you do that on a Firefox tab, you close it. So, I mean, I never saw the need to have that little red X, but hey. They also updated the theme. Looks a little bit less like Windows XP and looks a little bit more like Windows Vista or Mac. It just has a nice smooth interface, nice and crisp. They changed the way RSS feeds work in it, a whole bunch of stuff. I haven't really played with the RSS thing yet. But and the cool thing is that most of my plugins actually work. So I have my Google browser sync, and that's still running, and the funny thing is it's synchronizing between changes on my browser at home, which is running Firefox 1.5, and then my browser in work, which is running Firefox 2.0. So, cool. Anyway, head on over to getfirefox.com or mozilla.com/Firefox, but still. Now, here's the fun thing, though. Now, everybody's pontificating, saying, oh, well, this means the new browser wars have started. Because if you didn't know, Internet Explorer 7.0 released last week sometime. Now, I have an article linked up about the browser wars and what exactly is different between them. And I also have a link directly to IE7, which I have not installed yet. So I'm not going to give you an opinion one way or another. I've actually heard really good things about it. But the only bad thing that I've heard about it is that you cannot install you cannot install Microsoft Internet Explorer 7.0 if you have a Fugazi version of Windows, or a cracked version, shall we say, any kind of pirated illicit version. And the way they know this is because you have to run that little validation tool. Now, a lot of people are up in arms about this. They said, you know, this is kind of ridiculous. Why should I have to validate that the OS that I'm running is fine to install a piece of free software which has nothing to do with the OS? So, I mean, there's opinions one way or another, and I'm of the opinion, actually, I don't know, maybe I'm getting older, but I'm of the opinion that, you know what, Microsoft wrote both programs, so if they feel like you're installing their software on a fake version of Windows, a version that you didn't pay for, then I guess, you know, they have the right to refuse that service to you. Because there's nothing that says that you have to have internet access to Internet Explorer 7.0. So, yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit more. And next time we're actually going to talk a little bit about the problems that are going to be coming out with the internet... that are going to be coming out with Office 2007 and Windows Vista. Some of the changes that are coming up for the working stiffs among us, and how it's going to affect things that are going around. All right, now that's the most that we have here for, you know, like the, you know, the ins and the outs of the software industry. But now we go on to a fun little thing. Now, owning a podcast, owning a business is all about branding. You know, I want to be able to get out there, and I want to be able to have a firm identity. So, I mean, you could go to puzzlebox.podomatic.com and find my podcast, but I tell everybody to go to caffeination.com because it's easier to remember. It's the same thing as the podcast. That's an example of branding. I also have a logo that I designed. There's a color scheme. I mean, everything you want when somebody goes to your website, they want to look at it and say, okay, I understand where I am. Everything's linked together, and this is, you know, all one entity. So now you might say, okay, well, how does this fit in with what you're trying to say here? Well, branding even goes so far into advertising, so you want to be able to get your brand out there. So that's one of the reasons that I do Tech Podcasts this week. I want to be able to let people know what's happening on the show. By the way, head on over to techpodcast.com every Monday to hear that. It's really cool. You can hear what's happening on all the member shows. It's a real fun little thing. There's always a promo for 99% of the time, there's always a promo from me. So it's really interesting. You can actually hear some of the crazy stuff that's going on in some of the other shows. And you might find something else to listen to, too. Because, you know, I only produce two shows a week. And there's a couple other hours that I'm pretty sure you could be listening to some podcasts. So let's see. But here's the newest trend in brand advertising. It says they pay people to change their IM screen name to be like chessplayer103 visitblank.com. Visit like monkeysuncle.com. So they're going to pay you for the amount, if you use their little chat client, they're going to pay you for the amount of time that you talk to other people with that screen name. So, I mean, I don't think it's going to be a lot of money, but they're opening themselves up to a whole bunch of You know, people just setting up bot networks to where they just chat back and forth endlessly. I mean, you know, hey, that seems to be a pretty good idea for a revenue stream. You know, I have a kid on the way, or not on the way anymore, man. He's upstairs. But still, I mean, it just seems like that people are getting all up in arms about this. Like, oh my God, that's horrible. No, you don't understand it. This has been around for a lot longer than anybody thinks. I mean, people don't remember back when there used to be two competing free car companies. You could get a free car from like the Salvation Army or something in the United States. I don't think that's the right charity, but you could get basically a free car if you showed need, and you had to pay like $200 a month after that. There was no down payment or anything, but it was just like a beater. And then on the other hand, you could wrap your car. Now these two things worked in tandem, rather, not they weren't in opposition, but you could wrap your car with a giant banner advertising like drink Starbucks coffee or something like that, and they would pay you $200 a month. Do you get where this is going? So you wouldn't actually get any money, but you'd just get a free car that was a giant driving advertisement. So a lot of the, you know, college students that I knew actually started driving these things around, and then I think the whole scam kind of folded up because they realized that they were just giving out beater cars to people, and they, you know, and then if the car was in an accident, I don't know, it was just a bad idea in general. But still, people are all up in arms about this. Like, oh, why would you change your screen name? Dude, you can create like 50 screen names. It's not going to hurt you. The only problem is trying to get your friends to talk to you when you have a funky name like that. And then people are like, they seem to have a short memory. And they're like, oh, now how could you expect somebody to change this? All right, now this isn't even the worst example of brand advertising I've ever seen. Like, you know, forcing somebody to change the name. The worst example I ever heard of is in 2002, Acclaim Entertainment. They held a contest for $10,000 American dollar savings bond for the new video game coming out called Turok Evolution. Now, here's the contest. They were going to pick a day, which happened to be 9-1-0-2. The first child born that day, which had the name Turok on his or her birth certificate, would get the $10,000. Now, not only are there probably going to be, you know, 15, 20 other people who named their baby Turok that specific day, you only had to keep the name for a year, so, I mean, by the time the kid got old enough, you know, it was probably gone, but still, it was just a crazy promotion. I never even found out if it was collected, but still, I mean, that's just crazy. Now, that is going too far. I mean, yeah, you only had to keep it for a year, but do you know how much paperwork's involved in trying to change somebody's name after they already have it? I mean, they're going to look back at their birth certificate and it's going to say Turok for the next 75 years. All right, let's see what else we have. All right, I don't know if anybody out there knew this, but there's a swath of, what the heck is this? Ah, yes, you gotta love some of the stories I click on. I actually got a pop-up on my freaking browser. All right, time to clean out the old computer again. All right, back to the tech tidbit section anyway. There's a swath of crazed border security guards who've been confiscating laptops. It seems due to legislation which has recently been passed in the United States, they do not have to show probable cause for taking your laptop to search it. They also don't have to give it back because, you know, why would they want to do that? So, I mean, I have the story linked up on Slashdot. I really haven't read through the whole thing. It could be full of hot water. But I was glancing through as I was putting the show together. I was like, you know what? I should probably really tell people this. Because, you know, I know we have a lot of listeners who downloaded the show abroad. And a lot of listeners who are traveling people and everything. So, you know, you might want to read up on it. See exactly what it is. But apparently this has been a more and more common occurrence. And now with recent laws, it's completely legal. So, kind of strange. And I don't know what would tip off a border security guy if, like, what are you doing with a laptop? Well, I happen to be a geek, sir. I'm sorry, if you want to look in the bag, there's plenty of shiny gadgets and things that go beep, so I think my credentials are pretty much secured. I also work for a place that's called Computer Services within a university, so, I mean, I don't know, but still. I don't know. I just thought that was kind of ridiculous. Wanted to throw that out there. Now, the next thing, I love the fact that the portable hard drives and everything are getting bigger and bigger. There's now a 12 gig USB drive. Now, it's not a flash drive, so it doesn't have all the same problems, you know, like static electricity. All right, hold on. I should probably tell people this. I tell everybody in work. I tell everybody all over the place whenever I see people using those little flash thumb drives. Now, here's the thing. Don't ever lose the cap for them, because I work in an area that has a lot of college students running around. They have their flash drives out. They lose the top, and then they still put the drive in their pocket. The static electricity from your pocket can actually slightly power on the device, just enough to corrupt the data that's on there. So it's really important to remember to keep that cap there, or at least don't put it somewhere where it's going to get hit with static electricity. Well, this isn't the same thing. That's not what I came to talk to you about today. This is a 12 gig, it's a mini hard drive, and it just looks so spiffy. It's all shiny. I love shiny things. What geek doesn't, but still. I might actually, and it's really cheap. I mean, what would you expect to spend for a 12 gig flash drive? You know, $300? No. 12 gigs is $129. That's insane. I could fit most, that's bigger than the first three computers I owned. So, I mean, it's just awesome, the tiny tech that's coming out lately. So now, as soon as somebody can figure out how to plug one of these directly into my cell phone so I can just transfer my pictures over, I'll be even happier, but still. Now, in conjunction with this, I also wanted to remind people to head on over to portableapps.com, and you can download all the latest web browsers and everything. Basically, if you're a mobile person, you don't need to take your laptop, because, I mean, hey, it's going to get confiscated anyway, right? But you can wander around with it. This is a free website. You can head on over there, and they have portable versions of software that you probably use all the time. I actually have a just downloaded a portable game. It's called Portable Sudoku. So, but still, they have portable versions of OpenOffice, Sunbird, which is the Mozilla scheduling suite. What else do they have? AbbeyWord, Audacity, the program that I'm using to record this. So you could do mobile podcasting recording if you just had a workstation wherever you were headed. So you could take files from home to work to wherever and just be able to plug in this little drive and have applications which left absolutely no footprint on the computer that you were using. This is really good for, like, you know, if you had to access your bank website or something like that, and you really didn't want to keep your stored password. I mean, you should never keep your stored passwords on anything, but still, if you really didn't want to have the cookies or anything left behind you in a public library or something, this is fabulous. So I heartily recommend people head on over to portableapps.com. I'm not a big fan of the other side of portable apps. I mean, it's not directly related to them in any way, but there's something called U3 drives. They have a little piece of software on them which makes them incredibly irritating to deal with. I know Tech Podcast had a little bit of a thing going with them, and they did a little promotion with them, but still, I personally find the drives irritating, so I don't really endorse them. But, alright, and now on to the I Love Robots section. Now, I mean, everybody who's been around here for any length of time knows that I absolutely love robots. I just think they're the coolest thing. So I get one of the videos actually started up. I get suckered in by this news stories and stuff like that about them. So I want to just pass something on to people so they see the latest crazy stuff that's coming out. Over from Gizmodo, we have a robotic chair. Now get what this thing does. It's a normal-looking chair. You say the magic password, it falls completely apart. So the only thing that's robotic is actually the base, the part you plant your rear end on. Now what it does is it goes around, motors around, finds the legs. I don't know why you would need this thing, but it's still cool, and they have a video of it doing it. But it finds the legs, hooks them up, finds the back, flips that back up, and then stands itself back up. So I was like, wow, that just looks cool, and it's really kind of freaky. And then the next thing is a Japanese robot fight over at YouTube.com. You could just click on the link in the show notes over at caffeination.com. It's just crazy the level of sophistication that some of these robots are reaching. I mean, when I was in high school, the biggest thing that robots could do was play soccer. Now they have them mimicking fighting styles. You really have to watch around 1:15 of this video. There's a robot body slam. The red robot grabs another robot in a chokehold or something and slams the other robot into the ground to defeat it. I mean, it was crazy. Now there's also a thing I have up here called robotic arm with no link. I was in work the other day, and one of my buddies sent me a link for this thing. It looked like the Dr. Octopus arms from from Spider-Man. So, I mean, it was seriously like a crazy elephant trunk that reached out, could grab different objects of different sizes, and it was from like a university or something like that. And they had it picking up stuff like wine glasses and didn't break them. It picked up things like cinder blocks, so it was really strong, but it was crazy looking, and I can't find the video anymore. So if you know where it is, please send it to me. I'm trying to get a hold of my buddy to see if he still has the email, but I, of course, deleted it. So, moving right along. All right, next up we have San Fran on sustainable tourism. Now, I've been to San Francisco, and I love the way that they operate a lot of the things. Most of the, I think all of the public transit buses are electric operated, so I thought this was really cool. They're going to be replacing the boats that go to and from The Rock, Alcatraz, with these giant solar-powered ships. Now, these things look spiffy. I mean, if this happens, they're going to be dotting the bay all over the place, and these just look so cool. Now, they're going to be able to tote around 600 passengers, and apparently each boat's going to cost between $6 and $8 million. So, it says the boats should be in the water around 2008 to 2011. So it's going to be really cool. I hope this actually comes to fruition. And the other place that I'd like to see these is if you've ever been in Niagara Falls, Canada, United States, wherever. There's a boat tour. It's the longest operating sightseeing tour, I believe it's called, the Maid of the Mist. This boat actually takes you from a dock all the way up right under the falls. You spin around for a little bit, take pictures, see the giant force of nature all around you, and then it takes you back. Now, I was thinking this would be really awesome for them, too. I mean, you know, everybody's concerned about the environment lately, so, I mean, wonder if this would work up there. Still, that just about wraps it up here for the Tech Tidbits section. Didn't mean to rush everybody through it, but, hell, we're almost at 30 minutes here. It's 27:15 right now. All right, a little bit of general information, caffeinated bits, and then we're going to head you on out of here with another song from the PodSafe Music Network. So, first up, in the general information, we are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Our show also is listed over at blueberry.com. That's BLUBRRY. It's a social podcasting network site. So you can see all the shows that are a lot of the shows that I listen to, and you can surf around to people's profiles and think of it like MySpace for podcasts. It's really cool. And then, as always, you can check our blog over at puzzlepiecepro.com/blog for some interesting stuff. I'm going to be talking a little bit about Firefox 2.0. I'm going to be giving you a rundown of what I think of it and things I think they need to improve, stuff like that. And then, of course, there's crazy anecdotes and everything. Sometimes I try and keep it child safe most of the time, but if I get really riled up, I might not. So, buyer beware heading on over there, but still, I would hope that people would head on over there and check it out. There might actually, if we actually do succeed in moving the podcast from where it's currently hosted to someplace else, then we're going to have a little bit more freedom to do stuff with our blog, so you're going to be able to sign up to listen to the podcast. You're also going to be able to see some news items that I can throw up there. Be more like a normal podcast, so we'll see how that all turns out. And that's just about it for the general information. Only two things from Caffeinated Bits. We actually had one of our listeners send me a link to where I could buy and have shipped to me Autumn Harvest Pumpkin Pie Flavored Coffee. So $9.95 whole bean for a pound, I believe it is. Or I could get a 5-pound bag for $30. So thank you very much, George. So that's really cool. And then I've been promising people that I was going to talk to you a little bit about the origin of the caffeination. Now, the caffeination, CAFFINATION, is actually a was originally supposed to be hyphenated. It was supposed to be CAFFINATION, which is actually my Skype user ID. But again, neither here nor there. But still, sorry about that. And what it was going to be is I fancied myself. I was like, you know what? I read so many different web comics. I'm pretty sure that I could do one. And I've never seen a webcomic directly related to coffee and caffeinated things. You know, I'm enough of a nut about coffee that I'm pretty sure I could have a lot of ideas for jokes and everything. And then I really had like an epiphany one day. I was like, you know what? I'm not funny. And I'm a bad artist. So, I mean, I think the boat on the whole webcomic thing's kind of sailed, so I was content to stay as a watcher, but I still had this name stuck in my head, Caffeination. And then I started listening to a bunch more podcasts, and I was like, you know what, this is really cool. And I've always been told that I have a pretty good voice for radio, or pretty good, good face for radio, too, you can guarantee that. But still, I was like, you know what, maybe I should give that a shot. Wonder what I could talk about. Caffeination. Well, I'd have to talk about coffee. I mean, that's a large part of my personality. It's a large part of who I am on a given day. I have a caffeine meter in the back of my head, and if it goes down too low, I get really cranky. So I was like, all right, well, what else? Well, I'm a geek at heart, and I really need to talk about technology, too. Well, those things just don't mix. Nobody would listen to a show that's all about caffeine, coffee-related things, and technology. That's just crazy talk. So I was like, you know what, let me give it like 10-15 shows. Let me see, you know, it doesn't take too long. I'm gonna keep it under 15 minutes, you know, as we approach the 31 minute mark here. But you know, nobody would really care. I mean, we'll just try this out. I went over to podomatic.com, got a free account over there and checked it out and started posting the show. And around show 7 or 8, I started actually getting something that I never thought I would get. I was getting people who I didn't know emailing me and saying, oh yeah, I really enjoyed your podcast. And then the show started to grow. I started to add more content. It started to be a little bit less slapstick put together. I started to put a little bit of myself into it. And if you go back and you listen to a couple of the first shows, it was really wooden delivery. It was really hard for me to actually talk about a lot of the things. I don't know why. I think I was so afraid of screwing up that I would, you know, everything was really rigid. So if I had a weird pause in the middle of a line like that, or a stutter going through, I would go back and edit it out. I think around like show 20, I said, you know what, this is ridiculous. I'm spending 3 hours to do a 20-minute, by that time it was up to 20-minute, show. And I had just gotten accepted to the PodSafe, or just gotten accepted to the Tech Podcast Network. So I was like, you know what, I'm gonna have a little fun with it. People seem to like when I talk about things, so we're just going to try this out. So, and that's how you got the show you got today. And then right on around Caffeination 68, we actually monetized the podcast and got a sponsor. So been great for me, and hopefully everybody out there is enjoying it. So as always, you can find this show over at caffeination.com. That's caffeination.com. You can email me, comments, suggestions, hate mail. What do you think of the webcomic idea? Over at caffeination@gmail.com. You can join our MySpace friends account over at myspace.com/caffeination. And our personal blog is over at puzzlepiecepro.com/blog. All right, our last song here from the Yeah, I would have edited that out too. Our last song for the day here from the PodSafe Music Network is the Aphrodisiacs, Ghost in the Shell. Another song from the PodSafe Music Network. Let me know what you think. Thank you. again from the PodSafe Music Network. That was Ghost in the Shell from the Aphrodisiacs. So I'd like to thank everybody out there for listening. Hope you enjoyed today's spooky cast. So thank you very much, and we will see you next time on the Caffeination Podcast. Yeah, I know, I probably shouldn't do this, because I butcher accents left and right. Anyway, thanks everybody, and stay caffeinated, people.